David K. Foote has a PhD in economics from Harvard University and is an award-winning professor of economics at the University of Toronto. But he is perhaps best known as the co-author of the hugely influential books Boom, Bust, and Echo, How to Profit from the Coming Demographic Shift, and Boom, Bust, and Echo, Profiting from the Demographic Shift in the 21st Century. These two books reflect Professor Foote's research on the relationships between economics and demographics and on the resulting implications for both private and public policies. Together, they spent more than 156 weeks on the Globe and Mail bestseller lists. On behalf of Desjardins Financial Security, I'd like to thank Professor Foote for joining us to share his insights today. So I'd like to talk about the Busters cohort. That's Canadians born between 1967 and 1979. What are some of their major traits?
Then in their 30s and early 40s. And this is when, of course, you buy a house, you start a family. They're totally wrapped up with family values and everything involved in raising children and paying off a house. And we all know that a house is a good investment, not only to bring up a family, but also as a protector of wealth over a long period of time.
Are they also starting to save for retirement?
Probably not. Probably everything they may have even pulled out any RRSPs they had and dumped it in the down payment of the house. Unless, of course, they've got wealthy grandparents who have given them the down payment. In general, no. They're probably the least focused on retirement. They're probably most focused on their family, and that's probably what they should be doing, too.
In the work world, busters have had kind of a hard time finding their place in the sun when it came to work. They often had to take multiple part-time jobs, waiting for their turn, basically for the baby boomers to retire. How are things playing out for them today in the workforce?
Those sort of 35 to 45 now have had a fairly tough life. Some have been lucky. Some have had to work really hard. Almost all of them have had many contract positions before they finally landed their first full-time job, and that occurred in the mid to late 1990s. So many of them now have had a decade of stability and have got careers established, have managed to get married, managed to buy a house, and have a family. So it's sort of like their life's been delayed 5 years behind everybody else's at the same stage. But they're on the tracks and doing well. The young busters have done extremely well. These are the guys, the dot-com guys of the 90s, who have now jumped into really good jobs in the new millennium in their 30s and are often at the frontier in small and medium businesses. Very creative, energetic, didn't have a lot of competition. Went through the bust of the early 2000s, and that woke them up that everything doesn't just go up automatically, and they're extremely well established now.
In terms of the older part of this cohort, have they been burned by their experience? And if so, what are they looking for in their workplaces and in their careers now?
Yeah, my sense is that particularly those in their early 40s, but also those in their late 30s, and I don't want to make this sound negative, but they do have a chip on their shoulder. That in the sense that society hasn't treated them well, they've had a difficult beginning to their work lives, and they can't wait for those damn boomers to get out of there so they can get the real job they've always wanted. And they're saying, look, the boomer got that job when they were 35. We're having to wait till we're 45 to get, or 50 to get the same job. And there's a bit of resentment. And it can interfere with their workplace experience. And let's make it very clear, it's largely justified.
What can employers do to try to relieve that tension, to try to help their employees work more effectively together?
Give these people challenging assignments, make them feel valued in the organization. And here, it's not valued in the sense of creative young ideas. What it is, it's valued in the sense of bringing maturity, bringing organizational skills, bringing 15 years of experience to the job.
Is this generation concerned about things like pensions?
Yes. Now we're concerned about things like pensions. We're particularly concerned about things like life insurance because we've now got two children. We've got young children dependent on us. So the whole financial planning category opens up. Insurance becomes very important. We've got automobiles now. We've got homes. We've got kids. Insurance is absolutely crucial. And so understanding that necessity and beginning to think, by the time you get to your mid-40s, beginning to think about retirement.
Somewhat reflecting perhaps the busters' disenchantment with the workforce, busters in the Rethink Retirement survey were the least likely age cohort to say they wanted to delay their departure from the workforce for as long as possible. Their age group also had the youngest ideal retirement age. What will this mean for employers who face basically losing the boomers to old age and then the busters to early retirement? in quick succession.
When the boomers actually start leaving and these people start to zip up into those senior positions and all of a sudden realize they can affect change in the workplace and they're being rewarded for that change, let's see whether their attitudes don't change in their late 40s and early 50s.
So flash forward 20, 30 years to the time when the busters do start leaving the workplace. What are they going to face in retirement?
Well, they're going to have a real challenge because the boomers will be selling off their stocks, and so the stock market will be going down. So many of their investments won't be panning out the way they wanted them to. It's not going to go down nearly as much as it did in Japan because the echo generation is coming through to buy the boomers' assets.
In the survey, again, 3/4 of the busters say with confidence that they know where their retirement income will come from. Furthermore, they appear to recognize that government pensions won't be enough. Just 14% said provincial and federal sources of income would be enough to support them in retirement. So what are they counting on?
They're counting on their boomer parents. They wanted to say that. But essentially, remember, the boomers came from families with 3 and 4 children. So the inheritances that are now coming down from the parents of the boomers are getting split 3 or 4 ways. But the bus generation comes from family of 1 and 2 kids. So it's all coming to them. I think the younger generation, and by them I mean all generations under 50, have got exactly the wrong message on the Canada Pension Plan. It's very well funded. It's probably the best funded public pension plan in the entire world, and they will be able to rely on government. But we've sent out the wrong message to them.
Given the sort of inevitable challenges that the busters are going to face in their futures, how can financial advisors approach and work effectively with the busters?
Well, these are the people now that you have to start to think. They've got small amounts of money. They may have, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50,000. You've got to understand that 50,000 in your early 40s can be $500,000 by your mid-50s. So while they may not be huge income earners now, within 10 years, they may have quite substantial portfolios. And many of the large financial planning organizations that only want to deal with high net worth clients are missing out on all the new high net worth people because they aren't willing to work with them when they've only got $25,000 to invest. So the advisor talking to someone in their 40s, early 40s now, will talk about mutual funds, will talk about investments, will start to get these people comfortable with putting money in the stock market, looking at alternative investments, whether it's overseas or Canadian, and begin to start to build the portfolio that will just blossom when they get to their 50s.